The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I'm standing in for Brother Ron today. It's an awesome task. And it's a large responsibility. But it's always a privilege to share the Word of God. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our lectionary reading brings us to the final chapter of Hebrews. The writer from chapter 1 through the whole epistle has placed Jesus Christ at center stage, turned on the spotlight, and admonished us to consider him. Jesus, only Jesus, start to finish, Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who created us in his image, the one who redeemed and is recreating his image in us. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new person. The old passes away. Behold, all things become new. We are being made more and more into the image of Christ. Some time ago, I served as a children's minister at First United Methodist Church in Pascagoula. And on one particular Sunday morning, I had the children gather in front for the children's sermon. And I began by asking this question. Who does your mama or daddy say you look like? Well, little Andrew just raised his hand so excitedly, and I said, okay, Andrew, who does your mama or daddy say you look like? And he perked up and proudly announced, my mama says I look just like Dennis the Menace. Mom just slinks down in the pew. You and I are called to look like, to act like, and to live like the one who is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. He's our Savior, our Redeemer, the author and perfecter of our faith. And he will be faithful to complete his work in us by his Holy Spirit until the day he returns, or the day we get to go be with him. On this we can be confident. Yes, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the one constant, Jesus. Have you noticed that life is constantly changing? We're changing. The weather changes, jobs change, technology can't keep up with it, changing jobs, our circumstances change. But in the middle of it all, Hebrews 13 offers two anchors, an unchanging Jesus and the unchanging call to live out our faith and community. This passage reminds us that faith in Christ is never meant to go it alone. It is to be lived out with other Christian believers, together as the people of God. Wes and I had the opportunity to visit Costa Rica along with some other Christian friends. It was a wonderful experience for all of us to meet the people and learn the culture, see their beautiful land. You could take different excursions as a part of the tour that we were on, so our group together decided we would walk up the mountain into the beautiful cloud forest. But one of our group had signed up for the 13-stop zip line over the cloud forest. someone canceled the last minute and she talked me into going. Did I say yes? So here I am, strapped in this contraption, hand in glove, holding in front, crossing my legs, and there you go. Talk about a leap of faith. I started out going pretty fast, and then I began to realize I'm slowing down. And I've come to a complete stop in the middle of this zip line over the cloud forest in Costa Rica. I thought, this is not good. Alone and vulnerable and afraid. That was what I was. So looking down was not an option. Better to look up. Just Jesus and me, just hanging there together. But you know what? He brought peace and calm. And soon an attendant came, hand and over hand, and pulled me to safety. Adjustments were made, and I was sent on my way. Oh, how good it was to get back with my friends again. It certainly is not good to be isolated and alone. We need each other, especially in these changing times. Encouraging one another as we walk in faith together. In the Hebrew passage, the verse concludes with all of these instructions. It's as if the writer is so inspired that he's getting us into quite a long line of things. Of instructions for us to pay attention to. He says, first of all, keep on loving each other. Let mutual love continue. Love is not a one-time act, but rather is a choice, and it is allowing God's love to pour in us and then through us. The writer of Hebrews goes on to give us some examples. He says, show hospitality to strangers. We know what happened when Abraham entertained strangers. He got the good news of his son. We also are to remember those in prison as if we were in prison with them. Remember those who are mistreated as though you were being mistreated. And further instruction is given to honor marriage. We're to stay faithful and true. And then he says, be content. Don't let greed rob your peace. And finally, he says, remember your spiritual leaders. Imitate their faith. Encourage, that's what we need to do. Encourage and lift up our ministers. As they proclaim God's word. By the way, Brother Ron will be leading us in that church-wide Bible study that Scott drew our attention to, the information in the bulletin, Profoundly Christian and Distinctly Methodist. We have this opportunity to deepen our relationship with God and learn how to live in community together. An opportunity to grow in mutual love together. Now, right in the middle of all of these instructions, the writer says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's accomplished salvation through his death and resurrection yesterday. Today, he is present with us through his Spirit. He says, I am with you always and forever. He will reign and bring his people home. One day we will be with Jesus. Ours is to keep trusting, to keep living by faith and loving God above all else. Betty Furr read to us this morning from the second chapter of Jeremiah. Here we have a picture of what it looks like when we forget God and about living God's way. And choose to compromise the truth. Jeremiah was a prophet God's spokesman. He was called to communicate God's word of judgment and hope during turbulent years that led up to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. Israel was deeply defiled by sin, rejecting God's message, trusting in worthless idols, rather than living into the reality of a relationship with their God. God had finally permitted the Israelites to enter the promised land, but here's what happened. They were God's holy people set apart for the nations, and yet they began to compromise, allowing the Canaanite culture to squeeze them into their mold. They began to make friends, intermarry, and they began to worship Canaanite gods of wood and stone. Jeremiah told them they were foolish. You are exchanging your God for gods that are really no gods at all, only chunks of stone and wood. The Israelites, even though they had experienced God's power and his faithfulness from deliverance of Egypt, the protection through the wilderness land, and now living in the promised land, they were abandoning God for meaningless, empty pieces of stone and wood. God said, I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruit and its goodness, but when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. God went on to say, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns and broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Israel was spiritually thirsty, but instead of drinking from the fountain of the living water, God himself, they dug broken cisterns that could hold no water. They were looking for satisfaction, but neglected the only source that can truly satisfy. God said, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water, fresh, abundant, life-giving water. But they have forsaken me and cut cisterns that were man-made pits dug into the ground to collect rainwater. It's often stagnant and dirty and often cracked. I grew up in an area near Rock Springs, Wisconsin, and we would often go to visit the artesian well there, located there. And we would drink from the continuous flow of fresh spring water pouring forth. It was abundant and it was free to the public. People would come far and near and fill up their jugs and bottles with this fresh spring water. I cannot imagine dipping water out of a broken down cistern when you can have fresh, clean spring water. Now, the real problem that Jeremiah was addressing was idolatry. The chasing after false gods. Jeremiah called people to return to the true God, to abandon their idolatry. So you're probably asking, well, what does this have to do with us today? We don't worship gods of wood or stone. Well, perhaps we need to examine the meaning of idolatry. It is putting something, anything else in God's place. Whatever we count more important than God, those are our idols. In reality, they are only broken systems. We exchange the true source of life and peace for empty and deceptive promises. Did you know that every human heart is thirsty? We are a thirsty people, living in a thirsty world. And God has placed in every human heart a God-shaped vacuum that only He can fill, only He can satisfy. Now here's the good news. Even in the midst of Israel's faithlessness, some of God's people responded to Jeremiah's message and heard the words of hope. Praise God. And we too have heard Jeremiah's words of hope. Jeremiah called the people of Israel to love God and to put Him in first place in their lives. And today, God calls us to make Him first place in our hearts and to keep on thirsting after the living water that only He can provide. The psalmist declared, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for You, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. And Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added unto you. Everything you need, He will supply. We have responded to the call to follow Jesus, to be like Jesus, to look like Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus, who has given us a pathway and power through the Holy Spirit to live a Christ-centered life, all for His glory and for our gain. We continue to hear that call, a call to worship. Worship the living God, offering God our sacrifices of praise as we live faithfully loving God above all else. We continue to hear His call to love one another, to encourage and serve one another in Jesus' name. Jesus invites us to come to Him. The living water that will well up to eternal life. So let us commit to keeping Jesus first. Jesus always. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Thank you.